As Braden reminded us, even when we're not faithful back, you are a faithful God. And we just thank you for that. We thank you for your mercies that have been fresh. We thank you for all the ways that you've blessed. And Father, we just come in rejoicing and joy with what you do in our lives. But Father, we also come to lift up the family. We come to lift up Reese and his sister Janelle and Father Bill and the rest of their family as they grieve the loss of his mom and as they move forward from here. And Father, we just pray for them as a family. Father, may your strength and power and presence be with them. Father, we think of what's happening down in Texas, and we just pray for your people down there. We pray, Lord, just for protection. And Lord, we pray for your church as it reaches out to make a difference down there. And Father, we just pray that you would use what does not look to be anything positive, but you say you can work good things out of all things. And so, Father, we pray that we would see your hand at work in this as well. And that through the recovery and through the challenges that will come in the next few months, Father, that we would see your people at work and that you would get glory for that. Father, we pray for your church around this world. We pray for those who risk their lives just to worship you, just to acknowledge your name. And Father, we pray for your church as it gathers this day, as it hears your word, and as it gathers to praise you, Father, we pray that you would pour out your spirit afresh on them, and that you would give them boldness and bravery and protection, Lord, as they would go forward. And Father, we pray for ourselves as we gather here, that you would remove from us the complacency that so easily becomes a part of our life, where you are just one more thing. And Father, we pray that you would draw us back to where you are at work, shaping us to be your people, to make a difference in this world for you. And Father, we pray as we open your word now that you would speak to us. And through what is familiar to many of us, renew your call upon our life, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're on the last Sunday of three Sundays where we're talking about the Holy Spirit. And I want to read to you a passage because we're thinking this morning about what it means to be mature and what the purpose of the Christian life is, which is maturity of some kind. And we're going to try and figure out what that some kind is. But in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul writes this. He says it was God who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ could be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And then we'll no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. And this morning we're kind of thinking about what is the goal that the Holy Spirit has in our lives. And I want to suggest to you that that passage summarizes it up. So there's some sermon notes in your bulletin there, and I invite you, if you want to follow along with those, they're probably going to be helpful this morning. And we're going to talk this morning about what does the Holy Spirit do in our lives. So the first week we talked about who is the Holy Spirit. We said he's a person, not a power or a thing or an it. It's not a Holy Ghost in a sense of this ephemeral kind of thing, but a person who is part of the Trinity, as we've sung in many of our songs this morning. We said the second week that he comes to us through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which we said is when we ask Jesus into our lives, what we're really asking is the Holy Spirit to come in, and the Holy Spirit comes in and lives within us. And then the Holy Spirit continually keeps coming and filling us with his Spirit, giving us fresh power, fresh touch, fresh connection with God. And then this morning, we want to deal with, well, what does he do when he comes? So this is who he is. This is when he comes and how he comes. But what does he do when he comes? And this morning, I want to suggest to you that what he comes to do is to bring maturity into our lives. And so I put those a few of those verses that I just read from Ephesians 4 in your notes there. And it says, he gave gifts of apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers, so that the body of Christ might become mature. And the question comes, well, what does it mean to become mature? And what I want to suggest to you this morning is maturity is a process. It's not a flip of the switch. If you came in here this morning, it was dark. We hit all the lights, and all of a sudden there was light. And it looks like this. And you go, wow, that's really nice. Now, it would be really nice if when the Holy Spirit came upon us, when we became Christians, if God just kind of went, and we became completely mature and wonderful people, like me. But, but it's not the way God works, right? We're all in process. And that's the challenge of being Christians and church and all that stuff, is we're all in process towards maturity. And the crazy part of that is we didn't even all start at the same place. Some of us started with deficits. Some of us started with some really positive things in our lives. But God, regardless of where we started, is in the process of making us mature. And the Bible talks about that in very human growth kind of things. So just a couple of verses from the Bible that are in your notes. John writes, and he says, I'm writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young people, because you have overcome the evil one. And in that, you realize that John is saying, well, there's stages in this maturity. There's children, there's young adults, there's parents. In 1 Corinthians, he writes, this is Paul now, I'm writing this not to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children, for even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you don't have many fathers. But in Jesus Christ, I became your father through the gospel. Peter, in his letter, says, like newborn babies crave spiritual milk. And so throughout the Bible, there is this constant theme of we are in process towards maturity. And what the Holy Spirit comes to do in our life in many ways is to help us to grow, to become mature. And to do that, we're going to go through many stages. So I always love to get into science because, you know, the engineers will always come and help me at the end of the service at the door. But, you know, in a sense, maturity is more like a ramp than a staircase, in the sense that it's a constant kind of thing. But for simplicity, it's sort of easier to look at it in staircase steps. And what we do around here when we're talking about what is it that we want to do as a church is we say we want to help you become a fully devoted follower of Jesus. And then we say, well, what does a fully devoted follower of Jesus look like? It looks like someone who's maturing through some recognizable stages. And the stages we just happen to use are child, youth, adult, and parent. So I put those in your notes as well. And I just said, you know what, child looks like a child. You know, spiritually, what does that look like? Well, a child is someone that has a relationship with God, but little knowledge or change in their life. So it's someone who believes in Jesus Christ as their Savior. It's someone who's asked God to come into their life through the Holy Spirit. It's someone who's admitted that they're a sinner and they need God's help. But it's someone who hasn't got very far beyond that. It's someone who's sort of continuing to look after their own life their own way. Karl Barth said, you know, sometimes what people have an experience of God, it's a 360-degree turn. They're going along, God breaks into their life, they have this wonderful experience with God, and they just keep going the way they were. And the challenge with many of us is that's the story of our lives, is that God has not changed us. And so a child is someone who is unchanged yet, but they're in process and hopefully they're beginning. A youth now has begun to say, okay, now I need to get serious about this. And they've begun to read and to pray, mostly sporadically and maybe mostly in times of need. They need others to sort of feed them and encourage them. They learn mostly through sermons and they learn mostly through Bible study and stuff like this. Not as much through their own devotion, not as much through their own lives. but they're beginning. I always talk teenagers are part-time adults. You know, sometimes they're so mature that they just stun you. And sometimes they're not. And they just stun you. And that's sort of, you know, the way we are sometimes as spiritual people, right? I mean, even for ourselves, we just, wow, where did that come from? Or, wow, where did that come from? And then comes an adult. And an adult is focused on loving God and loving others. They're able to feed themselves. And an adult is consistent. I think that's the big thing about being a spiritual adult, is that we sort of have developed a consistency. There's not as many kind of relapses, if you want. And in many worlds, that's sort of the end. We want to grow to be an adult, but the Bible kind of adds one more stage of life, and that's a parent. And all a parent is a parent is an adult that's reproduced. If you're a parent, it means you have a child, by definition. And the whole goal of this thing is not just to become all that you can be, but is to help others then go through that process as well. So what the Spirit comes to do is to help us mature. And as I said, it's more like a ramp than a staircase, but you can't measure a ramp easily. So let's just kind of take the staircase knowing that it's an imprecise way of doing it. And what the Holy Spirit comes to do, I think, is two things. And the first one is, in this maturity, is He comes to bring the fruit of the Spirit into our lives. And the fruit of the Spirit we find in Galatians, and he says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. 9 very simple things that we're all kind of striving towards in our character. So I want to suggest this morning, just to kind of spoiler alert to the end, he wants to work on our character, and he wants to work on who we are and what we do. And the first thing he wants to work on is our character. And he wants to make us like Jesus. And the only person that those 9 things really describe is Jesus. And Paul says this is what God wants us to be. So let's just take a quick look at those, couple of really, really quick definitions, because they're different than we think of them outside of the church. Love is in spite of, not because of. That's the crucial definition of biblical love. It's the shalom. It's this agape. It's love in spite of, not because of. You know, Valentine's Day, right? All of us men buy cards buy cards that say things we never say out loud. But we give them to our wives or lovers and it says, I love you because. And that's the world's thing. I love you because. I love you because this. I love you because that. God says, I love in spite of. And that's part of the fruit of the Spirit. Joy is this really, really positive emotion. But again, it's joy in spite of the circumstances. You're happy because of something. You're joyful in spite of something. Even in the midst of all kinds of stuff happening, there's a joy in spite of. Peace. Peace is shalom. It's that not only absence of strife, but the positive presence of peacefulness. And we not only feel peace, but we bring peace. Patience. The word literally is long-suffering. It's willingness to endure. Kindness. Well, we're probably pretty good at that one. I just think of it as the good shepherd of Psalm 23, you know. Whatever your image of Jesus is, probably kindness is probably the top of it. Goodness. Not only right, but standing for the right. I think there's that sense of goodness in which it's an active thing and not just kind of personal. But the one of the things you got to notice about these things is that they're very community-oriented. They're not about us. They're about us in community. Faithfulness, true to God, whatever the circumstances. Gentleness, strength under control. You know, we have this thing with gentleness. It's not one of the things you want to be called. But gentleness is not weakness. Weakness is weakness. Gentleness is strength under control. And very different. And then self-control, that ability to choose our response. Right? They tell us there's something that happens, and there's our response, and in between is self-control. And what we're trying to do is build space between the impetus and our response. And that is self-control. Where we're able to choose our response. We're not conditioned by what's around us. Now, when I was in school, I took a couple of courses in the phys ed department, which was wonderful in university, because they mark on a pass-fail system so that their athletes can keep their, you know, ability to play. And pass-fail is that you do an assignment, and if it's over 50%, you get a pass, and you get full marks for that course. If it's under 50%, you fail, which is the same as every other thing. But it's a wonderful thing that you can do like 60% of the work, but get 100% of the mark. And I think we kind of go through the Christian life that way an awful lot, that we kind of think of this as kind of pass-fail. And we sometimes think of the fruit of the Spirit that way. And because we're all slightly above average, because we're good people, we pass. And because we kind of are above average in at least half of these, we kind of pass, you know, and if you pass more than 50% by more than 50%, you get 100%. I mean, it's the magic of that way of marking. And I just think sometimes that we just don't take very seriously the fruit of the Spirit. We kind of think, well, we think one of two things. Either we think we're doing fairly well, which we maybe are, or else we think, well, you know, that's just not me. You know, I'm just not a patient person. I come from a long history of not patient people, or whatever it is that's our particular one that we don't like to work on. And what I want to suggest to you is, what if we overlaid this whole thing of child, youth, adult, and parent on top of the fruit of the Spirit? What would it look like if you put those two on top of each other? So let's just pick a fruit of the Spirit like patience, because that's one that I generally have to work on, at least internally, if not externally. So what does it look like to be to look at just one fruit of the Spirit, but what would it look like to look at all the fruit of the Spirit this way? Well, what if you're just a child in the fruit of the Spirit? Well, you would say, well, you know, sometimes I'm patient, but mostly I'm not. And I know it's something that probably Christians should be, but, you know, it's not really who I am. It's not really my gift, and I'm sort of working on it, but, yeah, you know, it's not me. That's a child. A youth begins to develop through that and say, well, most of the time I'm patient, but I really need to work at it. And when I'm under stress, you probably don't want to be around me. But most of the time, right, because youths are part-time adults, remember that. So part of the time I am, but part of the time I'm not. An adult, when we get to that stage of that fruit of the Spirit, well, patience is just something we are. And here's two things that you can tell if you become to the adult stage of patience. One, you're patient under pressure. And two, you don't notice that you were patient until maybe you look back. As a youth, you're sort of working on patience. Okay, be patient, be patient, be patient. God loves them, I must love them. You know, or however your marriage works. And this idea of patience, as we get to the adult stage, it becomes intuitive, it becomes who we are. And then a parent is where we're able to help others develop that process in themselves. And I want to suggest to you that what God wants to do in our lives is to grow us in each of those. And I think one of the things you could probably do is you could just take a look at each of those fruits and you could say, this is where I am right now, kind of on average. You know, I do well in this one. I don't do so well in this one. I'm sort of a child here. I'm an adult here. I'm a youth here, maybe, whatever. But what God wants us to do is to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. And I just think, you know, what's a story of what patience looks like? I used to listen a lot to Zig Ziglar. And Zig Ziglar, you know, does a lot of motivational stuff. And he was talking one time about he was in an airport. He was speaking somewhere and he was flying back home. And he was flying back to Atlanta or wherever. And they said, your plane's been canceled. And the next plane to Atlanta is in 2 hours. And he said, well, that's great. And the person who was telling him said, that's great. He said, well, yeah, it's great. I've got this air-conditioned airport. I can got my work I got to do. I've got 2 hours now to do stuff that I didn't have before. That's great. Someone came up to him a little bit later and said, Zeke, did you really feel great about the two-hour thing? He says, no, I want to go home. He says, I've been on the road for a while. I just want to get home. He said, I could have yelled, I could have shouted, I could have done all kinds of things, he said. But the key thing to remember is, no matter what I did, it's 2 hours till the next plane to Atlanta. And that's a challenge with patience and stuff like that, is, you know, what we do isn't even productive. And often when we're not living out the fruit of the Spirit, we're not gaining anything when we go against it. Three kind of quick thoughts on the fruit of the Spirit. One, some of us, first one is progress. Some of us are just naturally good at some of these, but God wants us to be moving. So some of us start with a deficit in some of these areas, but God wants us to be in progress. And he's not so much measuring us on an absolute scale. He's saying kind of, where were you 6 months ago? Where were you a year ago? Are you maturing? Right? Maturing is the key word here. Secondly, how do you do what you pray? But if you pray, like for patience, expect God to put you in the opposite place in order to strengthen that gift in you, that fruit in you. And you can help God in that. You know, I just think you want to learn patience while you just stand in the longest line in the grocery store. That'll teach you patience in a little bit. You know, one of the things we do as people, and this is all generations, but the generation under me perhaps more, one of the things we do that robs us of patience is we've lost the ability to just wait. Because the instant you're stopped in something, you'll pull out your cell phone and you'll start scrolling. Now, here's something if you want to learn patience. Don't pull out your cell phone. Just be quiet. Enjoy. See what happens. And I have another one for you that I'll give you at the end of the sermon. But just be aware. Are you aware that the Spirit, that God's wanting to work to you in these areas? And that awareness is important. The second thing, and we got to go a lot faster, I see, is that God also wants us not only to work on our character, but he wants to work on our usefulness. He wants us to work on not only who we are, but what we do. And what we do is the gifts of the Spirit. And so when the Holy Spirit came upon us, the Holy Spirit came and brought gifts with him. And in your notes there, I put those notes, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. And now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And just a couple of really quick thoughts about that. Spiritual gifts are not abilities, but I sometimes have trouble figuring out when they're not. But for example, just because you teach secularly does not mean that you have the gift of teaching the Bible. You may have something completely different. Second thing is, everybody has some gifts. I know some people say, I just don't think I have a gift. I can't think of what it is. Well, you have one, or two, or three, and we can help you figure out what they are if you can't. Third one is, they vary. We don't all have the same gifts. But here's how I always figure when you know you have a gift. If say you have the gift of something, what's a gift that you could have? Well, maybe you have the gift of giving. So, didn't I put that in here? Yes, I did. Number five. So everyone has a gift and a role. That's the first thing. So you may not have the gift of giving, like generously, but you have the role of tithing. You may not have the gift of evangelism, where, you know, you get on a plane and when you get off, everybody's come to Jesus, but you have the gift of witnessing. You may not have the gift of teaching, but you do have the gift, the role of instructing your family and that kind of thing, right? Okay. So everybody has a role in each of those areas, but there's some people that are super gifted in it. And the super gifted people just do it, and they don't even know how they do it, and they hardly recognize that they're doing it. But one of the things is they look at other people and say, how come they don't do that? So someone's got a gift of giving, and they're very, very generous, and they say, how come these other Christians are so stingy? And one of the ways to recognize you got a gift is when it seems that you can do something, or you teach, or you evangelize, or you can you know, lead or something like that. When it seems that you can do that sort of easily and other people struggle, probably it's because you have a gift in that area and they don't. And it's easy to get critical in the area of giftedness because sometimes we don't realize that that's a gift that God's given us. And gifts vary. And primarily, gifts are to make a difference in the world. Gifts aren't given for us. They're given for the common good. It's this community thing again. And then I just list for you 27 gifts, I think. Okay, 21. It's close. And there's just a sample things. We do a workshop called Shape, and where we teach spiritual gifts, and these are the 21 that we use. I encourage you to be part of that. But here again, what happens if you overlap the spiritual maturity thing of child, youth, adult, parent on spiritual gifts? Well, if you're a child, you don't know about gifts and you don't know what your gift is. So if you're here this morning, you say, I'm not sure what my gift is. Well, probably you're at the child level at that. Not a bad thing. Just don't stay there. Gift purpose is maturity. We want to help you do that. The youth knows about their gifts and think they know what they are, and they're beginning to use them, but they're inconsistent. The thing about youth is always inconsistency. The adult can use their gift consistently to bless others. Often on Sunday afternoon, because I'm an introvert and being an extrovert for about 5 hours in the morning tires me out, I'll go watch golf because that puts me to sleep for an hour. But I watch these guys golf, and the difference between them golfing and me golfing is I can hit the occasional shot that's not too bad, very occasional and very not too bad. But the difference between a really good golfer and a professional golfer is they can consistently hit the same shot. They can go to the driving range, hit 30 of them in a row. And it's this consistency that defines adults, is that when we're developing our gifts, it's that God is able to sort of consistently use us there. And then this whole idea of parenting is that it's the goal of giftedness in the spiritual gift is eventually you start to pull back from using your gift in order to allow space for someone else with that gift to develop theirs. So sort of an interesting thing with this parent thing is it's not that we use our gift only us using it at this level, but it's developing that next level, which often means we have to kind of create space. But that's the maturity part of it. So I asked a couple of questions because I just felt that we probably know more about gifts than we know about the fruit of the Spirit, to be honest. We need to learn what our gift is. We need to practice using our gift. It doesn't come fully formed. We will grow through this maturity process and the use of our giftedness. We need to practice it. We need to find a mentor to teach us how to use it. We need to find a parent who can disciple us in it. And then the Shape seminar, and you'll be hearing more about that in the fall. But we do that probably 2 or 3 times a year, just trying to help people discover their giftedness. Now, here's the end of the thing. So we kind of said you have the spiritual maturity continuum, and then you have fruit of the Spirit, and we've laid those on top of each other and said, you know, you're going to be growing in this, but are you growing? And then we said you have spiritual gifts, and we have this growth continuum. We laid those on top of each other and said, you're going to be progressing and maturing through your giftedness as well. So as we close out this morning, what if we took the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and laid those on top of each other? What would that look like? And what I think is that God is calling us to maturity in both of these. And so they got 4 options. You could be a child in both, you know, so you could have no fruit of the Spirit and you could have no gifts of the Spirit. And that just makes you a spiritual child, you know, and we want to help you mature from that. It's not a bad thing. It's just a bad thing if you're there forever. But we all start there. But some of us get really caught up in the fruit of the Spirit, but not the gifts of the Spirit. And so the fruit of the Spirit, we're growing this wonderful character, but we're not really doing much with it. And I think the challenge with that is we become irrelevant to the world. And here's the picture that I have of that. When I was at a previous church that had a building that had beautiful hardwood floors, we had this caretaker whose name will remain anonymous. But she was this Dutch lady who was very, very precise. And she was just the best caretaker you could ever have. If you want a building to look good, that building looked great. In fact, that at hardwood floors, and about every other year, she would get about a 1-inch paintbrush, get a whole thing of Varathane, and she'd paint the hallways. Like, this church was big church, and she would paint these things, and it looked beautiful. The only challenge was she hated people to use it because they messed up the beauty of her church. And because at that point I was doing more youth stuff, she used to hate it when, and these floors were so good. This was back in the days of breakdancing. We used to spin. Oh, you could spin on those floors like crazy, and they'd all come over and spin, and she'd spin, and we'd all spin, and it would be kind of fun. We had a youth retreat one time where we were just messing around, and we shot off one of those fire extinguishers that has the dust in it. Yeah, well, luckily there were other churches that wanted me, so... But that's my image in my head when I think about someone who works so hard on their character but doesn't work on their giftedness. Is they have a beautiful life, but it's irrelevant to the world. But the opposite side of that is you can get so busy using your giftedness, but you never develop your character. You can... And I think this is one of the most dangerous things in the world. You can have gifts without fruit. You can have ability without character. And when you do that, you become hollow. You know all the TV evangelists that blow up? You know all the people you know in your life that blow up spiritually? It's because often they have developed their ability to do without developing their core being. And without the fruit of the Spirit at the heart of all this, it becomes very dangerous. You know, I love boats, and I did a whole series on boats one time. And one of the key things about boats is you always want more weight below the waterline than above the waterline, because if you don't, you're going to tip over. And the hidden stuff has to be the heavier, and the hidden stuff is the fruit of the Spirit, and that has to be where the weight is in your life. And if you don't have the fruit of the Spirit, but you have great gifts, it's dangerous. So I want to encourage you. Work on these things together. And if you have gifts plus fruit, well, that's a fully devoted follower growing in God. And that's what the Holy Spirit came to do. So I just wanted to give you something just as a takeaway from this. And so in your bulletins, it should be there. And in my Bible, it should be here. Or it should be there. It is. It's on a piece of cardstock, and it's called the Daily Examen. So examen is Latin, and it sounds just like what it is, but it's just a word that we use these days. And this is for you. Here's my, I've said this before. I think twice a day with God is really crucial. So I think in the morning, I start with God. I read my Bible. I ask God, God, guide me today. I'm going to go out in this world. I got no idea what I need to do. I need to hear your voice. Speak to me. Prepare me for this day. But at the end of the day, I need to sit down and say, God, how did we do today? And so this is just a little tool. Take it and use it if you want. There's extra copies if you got like one bulletin, but there's two of you. Tyler has them at the back desk. But just at the end of the day, here's some questions. Looking back over my day, when did I experience God? Looking back over my day, when did I miss God? See, sometimes I think I can go a couple of hours and I'm just so caught up in everything that I've just lost God. The fruit of the Spirit. What was my experience of the fruit of the Spirit today? And here I've given you that thing that we've talked about. And then two questions with that. When did I do well? And the other question, which I think is really, really crucial if you want to grow in the fruit of the Spirit, what was happening when I did poorly? And this is where you find out where your what do you call them? This is where your weaknesses are. This is where you're susceptible. Was it under pressure? Was it when certain people were around? Was it, when you're hungry, angry, lonely, tired? Was it, what was it? What is it? When is it when you struggle to be the best you? And when the Spirit struggles to have His work in you? What was happening when I did poorly? And then lastly, the gifts of the Spirit. How did I use my gifts today? And then the last question, just kind of an interesting thing. What did God teach me today about Himself? Today, because today is very important. It's in there twice. What did God teach me about Himself? And it's just a little tool. I just encourage you, just take that and, maybe you're not going to do it every day, but that would be good. But maybe just once in a while. God gives us a rhythm. So he gives us a daily rhythm. If it's not a daily rhythm, maybe once a week as you're preparing for worship, take a look at that, pull it out and say, how did I do this week? We have communion once a month, and that's a time of examination as well. So maybe once a month, pull it out and say, how did I do this month? And then maybe on a yearly basis, how am I doing? So kind of looking at it through different lenses, kind of close up, wide angle, if it's useful. Father God, we thank you this morning that you are at work in our lives. Father, we look at ourselves and we see challenges and we see places where we're doing okay and other places where we're struggling. And Father, we know that your Holy Spirit wants to be at work in us, that he wants to make a difference. Not only that we can become the people that you want us to be, but that we can then serve you and make a difference in the world, that we can make a difference in the lives of others as well. And so, Father, as we've talked about this growth continuum that you've put us on of helping us mature, Father, I pray that you would help us mature as your people. Father, help us mature in our giftedness. Help us mature in our character and the fruit of the Spirit. And Father, I pray, just breathe your Holy Spirit afresh on us, that we may become your people. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.